So in the second book of Timothy, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. Rather, they try to please their commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord."
Good evening. Hello. For those of you who perhaps haven't been here for the last 3 or 4 weeks in the evenings consistently, you perhaps have not picked up that we're in a bit of a series, and we're in a series in 2 Timothy. I've just steamed up. It's very exciting up here. We're in 2 Timothy, and we've had a lot of challenge in the last few weeks, haven't we? Would that be fair to say? We've had some quite deep challenges. We've had a bit of chance to think really carefully about where we are with issues in our lives. We've brought you to consider some quite deep things. We're actually taking a slightly different turn tonight. And if I tell you that when I read this passage, which Ruth beautifully read for us, there were 13 verses, and I nearly didn't read past verse 1 because I just got quite excited by the first verse. We're not going to stray very far into this amazing chapter, because I think God's got just a couple of quite simple things to say to us. But unlike the last few weeks, when we really explored things about our kind of relationship with God and things in us that need a lot of work, actually our title for today is about being strong in the faith, about what it is to be strong Christians. How do we get strengthened in our faith? What is it that Paul is offering Timothy in these passages that give us a bit of a clue about how to be strong in our faith? And I've got possibly a slightly surprising answer. I don't by any means claim that this will be a thorough exposition of all the possibilities, but this is just a glimpse. So I just want you to stop for a moment, just to tune in. And I'm going to phrase the question this way, okay? So just say this to yourself: what do I need to grow strong in my faith? So just stop and think about that just for a moment. What do I need? Some of you probably never thought about that, and some of you will have a list. Steve's will begin with lots of letters that are the same, probably. I'm going to show you a bit later on just one team's example of their answer to that question, but I wanted you to frame it like that because I think quite often, now you may not agree with me, but quite often we find it easy to say, well, what they really need is, they really need someone to get them to read their Bible, they need this, they need whatever else it is. It's actually quite good to stand back and turn that question around and say, what do I need to grow in my faith? Because the chances are, if it helps me, it's going to help somebody else. What do I need to grow in my faith? Now, Timothy is the recipient of an expert who has given that tremendous thought and has written these very carefully crafted letters to capture his sense of what Timothy needs to grow strong in his faith. And I'm just going to give us a little précis, a little bit about their relationship, just to start us off, and just to see a little bit about what's going on between Paul and Timothy. I did a mentoring certificate course about 3 years ago, with Moreland's College, and they had a session, a lesson that was using biblical examples of mentors in the Bible. And Paul and Timothy are held up as one of those classic examples of, here is a really positive illustration of a Bible mentoring relationship. And I'm going to say a bit more about that in a minute. So I went back just to see, when did they first meet? How did Paul find Timothy in the first place? Well, that would be interesting. And they met in Acts 16. When Timothy was quite a new Christian, Paul had been on one of his wanderings and done all his church planting. And do you know how Paul, when he plants a church, would start a church by preaching? Some people would become believers in Jesus, they'd start to gather, and then Paul would move on. Sometimes he'd stay a bit longer, and then he'd move on again. So Timothy was in a community of people who had learned about Jesus, and some of them had become Christians, and he was one of them. And then Paul came back. And when Paul came back, you just had this tiny phrase, there's not very much, and it just says, Timothy was among them, and the other believers spoke well of him. And it really struck me, there's something about this young Christian, Timothy, that the other believers around him are saying, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's okay. And I take that to mean that the seed that Paul had sown in that area, in that part of the world, had taken root. And in Timothy's life, there was fruit. There was evidence. There was proof that he was a disciple of Jesus. Something had happened. And Paul was introduced to this man, Timothy, but with other believers who quite graciously said, yes, he's a good person. Now, Paul could have picked any of them. They were probably more mature. But in the end, he associated with this young man and took him with him. And it reminds me of a couple of trips we've had back to Telford. Some of you know that 5 or 6 years ago, before we came here, we were church planting a little church congregation in Telford, a community of people. And we left, obviously, and came here. And then several years later, we got to worship with them again. And I just wonder if Paul felt this same sense of, you go back and you meet someone that you've led to faith and you've baptized. In our case, it was a young girl called Michelle, who was a mum. And almost the last thing we did in Telford was to baptize her and her baby and her daughter and another of her children in a baptism pool in the car park of the school. And you don't know, do you, when you leave, you don't know, how's that going to work out for her? How will it be? She was a very new Christian. And we went back and she's on the team. She was serving, she was involved in everything. Her daughter was leading one of the youth groups. And it was just lovely. And I just wonder if Paul had that sense of joy when he met Timothy. Here's some fruit of all this hard work. God has really got hold of this young man and he's really been changed. And just as an aside, one of the things that we've learned over the years is that the times that you most likely see that happen is when that person has come to faith and been baptized, so they're sure of their decision and been filled with the Spirit, so they're not on their own. If all those things happen, people stand, and they can stand and they can grow really well on their own. But obviously it's better to grow with other people. And the other thing that you find then, and it seems that it was the case with Timothy, is that they're known as people who are hungry to learn. They want to learn. They want to grow. I remember, and I'm just looking around to see if they're here. One of them is here. I remember two people in this church who came to faith a few years ago. And within weeks, they were asking for advice about the best study Bible to get their hands on. How could they get a study Bible? And I was just thrilled by that question, because that question means that they're hungry and they're going to grow. Doesn't that encourage you that they're hungry and they're going to grow? And it's to this Timothy, this young new believer that Paul has rediscovered and then taken around on all of his work with him, that we get the words of this letter addressed now. And we have this amazingly lovely start to this chapter where he says, you, my son. So there's a relationship, isn't there? There's a bond between them because of all they shared and lived in together. It's not just a kind of, I don't know, it's not like a job. Paul didn't say, my job now is to invest in this young man, Timothy, and make him a good Christian. I must do it properly and well. He invested his life in him to the point that he treated Timothy like a son. And he showered encouragement on him. And you see that if you track through Acts then and through other letters, you see that Timothy is always there when Paul's healing people, when he's casting out demons, when he's reaching out to people. In all sorts of different situations, Timothy is alongside him. And then eventually Timothy begins to be trusted with the work and given things to do as part of this growing process. So I was thinking about some of those little examples where encouragement is a really, really good thing for us, and I thought of a few. Encouragement when you're learning to ride a bike for the first time, and someone says, go on, you can do it, even though you've fallen off 25 times. I learned to ride a bike when I was 18 because I wanted to take a bike to university, and I thought I really ought to be able to ride it before I took it. But I didn't let anybody see me practice, because at 18 you really don't want to be watched falling off a bike. About encouragement when you're in labour. Can anyone here relate to that? That go on, push, go on kind of encouragement. It's very easy to give the encouragement from the one side. Not so easy to hear it from the other would be my memory of that. But it's a lovely thought. And what about when you're learning a new skill? Timothy was having to learn new skills, how to handle scripture, how to handle truth, how to handle disagreement, how to respond to need all the time. Isn't encouragement a good thing when we're learning a new skill? I did some coaching training over the last couple of years, and the coaching training lady called Claire is a brilliant coach. She's a real expert. She's quite a senior leader in her field. And if you do something, she puts you on the spot. She does that thing I really hate, where you have to do the thing in front of other people watching you do the thing. Have you ever been in that position? It's horrible. I hate it. But she made you do it all the time. But every time you falteringly had a go at whatever the next skill was that you had to do, she'd say, well done. So you'd actually think, gosh, maybe that was okay then. Maybe I did okay. What a powerful phrase that was. Well done. So you'd have another go. You'd know there might be something that wasn't quite right. You'd have noticed that yourself. But the well done was a huge help. And I was looking at the video of this evening, but I haven't brought it to show you because it just takes a bit too long. But there's a lovely video of Ian Wright, the footballer, who's being interviewed. And as he's being interviewed, in the background, they're bringing on a teacher who was his youth mentor, who mentored him. And it's really interesting. This guy was just an ordinary guy, but he saw potential in Ian, and he kept saying, go on, you can do it. Go on, keep going, through this young man's early struggles. And Ian, as this very now successful, minted person, turns to see this elderly chap behind him and just breaks down completely, because that guy changed his life with his encouragement. So that's just background. That was just the background. And I just wanted to just put up, perhaps we just look at the mentoring definition. You've got it there. Just because I just love the sense and the tone of this before we move on. John Mallison is a Christian mentoring trainer and has written most of the kind of early tomes on mentoring. And he says this: Christian mentoring is a dynamic, so there's energy in it, intentional. So we don't just do it when it suits us. Relationship of trust, in which one person enables another to maximize the grace of God in their life and service. I love that bit about maximize the grace of God. See, it strikes me that Timothy didn't become Paul. Timothy became Timothy with all the gifts that God had put in Timothy and the timidity that was in Timothy and the character that was in Timothy. And Paul's job was to maximize the grace of God in him so that he would flourish and do really well. And why is that important? Because it's not about Paul making Timothy do the things that he, the expert, perfect person, could do so that Timothy could be perfect like him. It's recognizing a dependence on God, and what God has given me is different from what God has given you, and I'm going to invest in you, and we're going to see it flourish and come out. So I think it's a really important humility in there. You may not think of Paul as a humble person. I don't know. Sometimes when you read his more strident letters, he doesn't strike us as humble, does he? But actually, Paul, in his approach to other people, has a real humility because he is utterly, utterly dependent on God, the grace of God for his own salvation and his own faith. So it's a really good key for us. So as we think about being strong in the faith and what I need to grow strong in the faith, I'm just going to pick up these two words in this first little bit that caught me. And the first and this next verse, thank you, Howell. Get a gold star for that. You then, my son, you then, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. If we want to be strong in the faith, we have to first be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's an absolutely core part. Strength and grace don't sound automatically connected until you think about what you have if you take the grace away. See, without grace, I'm effort, trying, working at it, doing my best and never quite getting there. With grace, I have access to everything that God has for me to help me to grow, so that I can lean on him, so that he can bring about and maximize the grace that he's given me. And it makes such a difference. In the chapter we had last week, Timothy underlines it a couple of times. He says, we have this faith not because of anything we've done, not because of anything I've done, but all because of what Jesus has done. He says it again and again. If you're a newer Christian tonight and you're beginning your Christian journey, I would say pay lots of attention to this bit of what Paul says. Because understanding that your access to God and your standing secure in your Christian faith and being a strong Christian is rooted all in what he has done for you is absolutely key for us. It's absolutely critical. Because otherwise, as soon as something starts to go wrong, we find ourselves thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe I'm not really a Christian. Maybe I'm not really good enough. Maybe he can't accept me because of this thing in my life. Maybe if he just knew what I was thinking just then, maybe he wouldn't have me. Well, it's not about that, is it? Paul again and again says it's because of the grace that is ours, because of what Jesus has done for us. So number one, to be really strong, you have to lean fully on the grace in him. And in fact, I'm finding these days, and I've used this expression to myself, so I'll try it out on you and see if it sounds right out loud. I've been learning to fall into grace. So if I find myself, as I did at one point this week, so anticipating you lovely people sitting there expecting a talk and looking at my blank and scribbled on pieces of paper and feeling rather desperate briefly in the middle of a week in which Steve wasn't at all well and I was not very well, I reached a point where I was thinking, I just can't do this. I just don't think I can do this. And that started that chain, you might recognise this, of, and I can't do that either. And actually the last time I did this, it wasn't great, and that's not so good. And do you recognise that slide in your mind sometimes? And I just put on a bit of worship and I listened to a song for about 3 or 4 minutes and I felt myself fall into grace. And it was almost as though the presence of God just met me there. And he just said, do you think I care about any of that? Do I? Just stop it and just lean on me. Now, it's not that in the end you don't have to do anything, but it's that dependence on me sets a seed of doubt, uncertainty that makes us fall away. And God just wants to keep bringing us back, whether that's to our initial roots as a Christian believer, to be confident in that decision, or whether it's in the ministry that he leads us into or the roles that he leads us into afterwards, we have to be dependent on his grace. We can't do it without. So Paul says, you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Take the pressure off yourself. Put it on him. Look to him. And then in the second one, this next verse. I got all the way to verse 2. The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, when you had that question at the very beginning about what do you need, what do I need to grow strong in my faith, how many of you thought about reading your Bible or studying the Bible as one of them? Some of you, okay. Okay. I'm going to show you a list of somebody else's suggestion of a list in a minute. Truth is everything in strength, you know, because there are lots of untruths outside. There's lots of things that Paul, you see Paul in his letters having to correct things all the time in things that have gone astray. Often people either become so full of grace they live as they please, or so lacking in grace that everything's legalistic and Paul has to correct them. He says it's really important to pay attention to the teaching. So I just wanted to just suggest that that's a little bit like this picture. That's a picture of some roots. It looks like weeds, but actually I think it's grass. And there was a very interesting quote, and I googled growing strong roots, and I came up with an amazing American website for growing crops, and got a little distracted briefly. But I really like this quote. It says, take an out of sight, out of mind approach to your plant's roots will only result in weak, rotting roots and unhealthy plants. To build strong roots creates a plan for the environment beneath the soil. Sorry, to build strong roots, create a plan for the environment beneath the soil. In other words, we not only need to put down roots, we need some sort of strategy that engages us with the truth and with the good news that we can feed ourselves with. But we also need to make sure what we feed ourselves with is good stuff. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy, saying, I've entrusted this, and you've heard me check it out with other people, so it's been verified. This is the truth about Jesus. This is the good news, the gospel. Now I want you to take it and securely pass it on to somebody else so they can pass it on to somebody else so that you have truth that you can stand on. Now I'm just going to put up this next picture. Because actually growing strong roots and having a healthy thing to feed our lives so that we can grow as stronger Christians, it can't just be about just read your Bible. We all know that we can do that sometimes and it doesn't quite feed us enough. But this was the Bible Society's attempt at saying, what does a new Christian need, or what does a Christian need on their journey to help to feed them so that they will grow? And I quite liked it because it picks up about praying, learning to pray, learning to read the Bible. It talks about the Holy Spirit. But it also picks up on those outward things. How do I relate to my community? What about the ethical and moral challenges out there? What about the environment and caring for the world and giving to other people? How does it affect not just me and my Christian life, but the way that I react with everybody else? I thought it was quite a holistic sort of picture. But I think that the point that Paul is making is we have to pay some attention to the roots if we're going to grow strong, and we have to put roots down into good stuff. Now, I don't know what you use for that. The suggestions that we offer here, and you'll find them on our website, we offer people to look at things like the E100 Bible, which is a good run through the core passages in Scripture to help you get grounded in Scripture. We can point you to that if that's helpful to you. We use Alpha, obviously, to do that. We've used this Bible Life course here regularly. That's a great tool. One of the home groups is using that at the moment. I would encourage you to make sure that you are finding something that works for you. Doesn't need to work for somebody else, but it needs to work for you. And it may be that there's only one verse at a time works for you. Or it may be that actually you do really well when you read lots and lots of whole passages to get the sense of it. But I'd encourage you to read something and to get into the Word. Because Paul says to Timothy, guard this truth and pass it on securely. If we don't teach truth to new Christians, they're going to really waver and struggle. I won't look at the person I was talking to earlier this evening, but I was talking to somebody here who came to Alpha not that long ago, and they were talking about what they're doing to feed themselves. It's such an encouragement because, you know, we can offer suggestions, but actually each of us is responsible and accountable to God for getting hold of this sense that we need to grow our roots into strength, into His Word, into truth, to be a strong Christian. So, finale. That's only two things, isn't it? Two easy things to remember. I just wanted to pick up a slightly different sort of take on this passage, which is that we can obsess about the fact this is Paul and Timothy, and we can talk about that a great deal. But actually what Paul is doing is Paul is leaving the world. He's about to die. His time is up. He knows his time is up. And Paul's concern and his passion and his heart is for the church that will survive beyond him. The church that is spreading and growing. It says in the Word, doesn't it? This gospel is bearing fruit and growing all around the world. And Paul was leaving. He couldn't help them anymore. What could he do? So he invests what he can in Timothy for the sake of the church, not just for the sake of Timothy. And I just wanted to encourage you with that and just say, you know, as you grow your faith and as you grow stronger in your faith, you will be a help and an encouragement to somebody else. You'll be able to pass on what you learned to somebody else. You'll be able to share your mistakes and your struggles and your total reliance on God with another person. And that will be a huge encouragement to them because we need to keep passing on what God has given to us. There was a little comment in the verse 2 that we looked at earlier where Paul says, it's a bit later in the chapter actually, where he talks about taking the first food out of something. And the sense I have from that is that it's perfectly right that we feed ourselves, but having fed ourselves, the challenge is to give it away. So I'm going to set you two really simple challenges today, just to close. And the first one is this, that when you go away and you look at what you're doing with your own time with the Lord, what you're reading, whether it's working, whether you need to change it, how you're studying the Bible, when you've done that, the next time you read your Bible and one little thing speaks to you, just say to the Lord, will you give me someone that I can pass that on to? And then just watch and see, who could you share that with? Who could you pass that on to? And if next Sunday you're sitting here in your row and somebody sits down next to you, just turn and say, do you know what, in the middle of the week I read this verse and it really encouraged me because of this. Just practice giving away what God gives you. That's the most important bit of mentoring we can all do for one another. And then encourage one another. Paul invests so much encouragement in Timothy, doesn't he? So much. And he's one person. You may be thinking, oh, I've never had anybody like that in my life. And it is hard. It is hard. There have been points in our ministry where we've had to move to new areas. We've known nobody. Steve, as the vicar, gets invited into the not terribly thrilling vicar support network sometimes and has to endure some of those. But somewhere along the line, get some support. And I can relate to anybody here who says it's not always easy to find that other person to go to for support and to share and to grow your faith in. Almost every time we've moved, we've had to start a group for ourselves. Almost every time. In Telford, we started a core group so that we had somewhere to go to get encouragement and to be prayed for and to pray with other people. If that's what's needed, then why don't you do it? Just find somebody and say, would you do it with me? And just do that praying. But in the process, use that to be an encourager. So I just finish with this sense that, you know, Paul knew everything there was to know, really. He'd picked it all up. He'd learned it all. He'd studied everything. But he passes on what he does, what he passes on with humility, because he's rooted in the grace and the goodness of God. And so my encouragement to us is that as we seek to encourage one another and be a blessing to another and give away the food and the nourishment that is feeding us and helping us grow strong, that we'll do it with a real heart of humility that says, actually, you may have something to give me that I've never even thought about, and I need to listen as well as to speak. I don't want to tell you how to be me, but I want us together to find out how to be more like Jesus. Amen.